Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us another opportunity to see one another, to meet one another, inshallah. And may Allah bless us, inshallah, may Allah accept our amal, the actions, the deeds, inshallah. Welcome everybody, may Allah bless you. Thanks for joining us, inshallah. And let's listen to Mawlana Asad Ja'fari and listen to his inspirational speech. I, for one, loved it. Thank you very much. May Allah bless you, inshallah. So let's welcome Mawlana with a salawat, please, inshallah. Allahumma.
Alaykum salam. Is it on? فاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين مالك يوم الدين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين مبير الظالمين رحمة للعالمين أبي القاسم محمد وعلى أهل البيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعن الله وعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين ما بعد فقد قال الله وقوله الحق بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والنفس وما سواها فالحمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صلاة على محمد وعلى محمد Our discussion for the past two nights now has been this concept of attempting to create an Islamic lifestyle in the West. And yesterday we got our feet a little bit wet with the topic when we talked a little bit about the obstacles and dushmans and enemies that will attempt to block this progress of ours. And we identified or mentioned three main enemies yesterday, and we discussed two of them, and the third one, inshallah, we'll mention today. We talked in very great detail about Shaitan and him being the very first and very open and very declared enemy of ours. His strategy, his concept, his goal, how he has an advantage over us, how powerful he is, and in turn what the secret is in trying to defeat this very strong existence. We talked about the nafs a little bit yesterday being number two in terms of the listing of the enemies. And that being our inner enemy. How the soul has four powers, just like the body has five senses. And how an insan, or an individual who is treading the path of God, is one who is governed by his aql, his common sense, his logic. And any other state that you're in, if your ghazab or your shahwa or your wahm are faculties that govern your day-to-day life, then you are at a state or even lower than that of an animal. Today, I want to speak a little bit about this third enemy of ours, being our mind state, our mindset, our state of mind. And eventually, when we mention these three enemies and we talk about them in great detail, the natural discussion that has to happen after that is this discussion on willpower and self-discipline. Because these are the two tools that we're going to use to try to conquer these three enemies of ours. Otherwise, our goal will go unaccomplished. The third and most important enemy is our state of mind. Sometimes, before even Shaitan gets to us or our nafs gets to us, we've defeated ourselves. We believe that this society it's so un-Islamic that if I want to live here, I have to sacrifice my Islamic values. We believe for a moment that Islam says to live a certain lifestyle, but I live in San Jose, California, so I cannot choose that lifestyle. Therefore, I will sacrifice, like I said, a part of this Islamic lifestyle just so I can live here. Or are you sometimes believe that the laws of Islam are too hard for me to follow? I'll pick and choose which laws I want to follow. The rest, Allah, they're gone. This mindset is very, very dangerous. It's a mindset that belongs to Shaitan, and it is a field Shaitan plays with. The analogy I want to come across to all of you to make my point very clear tonight is the analogy of a boxing match. If you've watched a boxing match before, whether it's, you know, Mike Tyson or Muhammad Ali or all these older boxers, you'll know that when the match is done after 11 or 12 rounds of boxing, they interview the winner in the ring. And they declare him the winner, they lift his arm up, they hug him, they congratulate him. There's a lot of happiness in his camp, congratulations all around. If you look at this man on television, one eye is completely closed shut. One ear, there's blood dripping out of it. He's missing a tooth. His lips are completely swollen. He can barely talk and smile, but he's declared the winner. And I want to look at him and say, if you're the winner, what is the state of the guy who actually lost? You see, these scars on his body, these scars on his face are telling us that he was involved in a battle. Stay with me for a second here. When a soldier comes back from a battle that he won, he has scars on his body. He might even have a part of his body that's been amputated, completely cut off. There's blood, there's gory, gory details, there's blood on his sword, but he's declared the winner. Our battle against Shaitan is very similar to that of a boxing match sometimes. Where sometimes we fear that if I go against Shaitan and Shaitan leaves a scar on my body, I'll throw in the white towel, I'll give up. He wins and I'm a loser. What I want our youth to understand, and sometimes us when we fight Shaitan in this society, is that there's going to be scars, there's going to be bumps, there's going to be bruises. There's going to be times where we lose rounds to Shaitan. Look, a boxing match, the boxer comes out and gets wasted the first round. He gets hit like 13, 14, 15 times in the face. He comes back to the corner, and no boxer will say, you know what, I'm not going back out in round number two. I give up. Instead, what he'll do, he'll adjust his strategy to make sure that round number two is not like round number one. When you go against Shaitan, when Shaitan is asking you to pick a decision between right and wrong, and you select wrong by mistake, and Shaitan for that moment has beaten you, Islam is saying that don't roll over and die at that moment. Accept your defeat, get up, dust yourself off, make your proper adjustment, and promise yourself that round number two, Shaitan won't get me. Because scars are part of the battle. If someone came back from the battlefield, if someone came back from a 12-round boxing match, and there wasn't a scar on their body, you would doubt whether or not they were even engaged in the battle. Shaitan's purpose is for us to bring us as far away from Shaitan as possible. You know that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran states this very beautifully in a story version, that when he threw Shaitan out of his heaven, Shaitan asked God, O Allah, what about those years that I did worship for you? I want reward for those years. And Allah in his adalat and his justice says, fine, what do you want? He says, I want respite until the day of judgment. Allah says, sure, I'll give you that. He says, I want one more thing, God, from you. He says, I want the ability to create fear and doubt in the hearts of your mu'mins. Allah says, sure, I'll grant you that as well. And Allah granted Shaitan these two aspects that right now he uses against us. When it was asked from Allah by Nabi Adam alayhi salam that why would you grant Shaitan these two things, he said, O Adam, understand that for every single time Shaitan enters the heart of one of my believers, I sent an angel to enter the same heart at the exact same time. So that my creation and my bandit have an opportunity to choose right from wrong. And if my creations, for whatever reason, to choose the wrong path, I've opened the doors of my mercy, I've asked him to beg for my forgiveness and beg for my mercy. And I've given him a leeway, a little bit of a window, to make sure that if you made the mistake honestly and truly, you can beg for my forgiveness. So on one side, Allah's justice is what? That he's giving Shaitan his due for all of his worship. At the same time, he wants us to succeed. He's giving us the tools to fight Shaitan. So this question often arises, that how can God let Shaitan go to Qiyamah the way he did? Let's try to understand that God's entire system is justice. And we as the Ahlul Bayt and the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, we have taken this justice of Allah's, extracted it from his sifat, and made it one of our usuli deen, one of our bunyad, our roots of Islam. No other fiqh, no other school of thought out there does that. We do that. We place a high emphasis on justice. And you see that our prophets and our imams lived their entire life based on justice and justice alone. And if we had any chance of succeeding in this world, our bunyad, our base has to be justice. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The Quran has a very beautiful way of getting its message across by telling you stories in the Quran. Quran is full of stories, mashallah. And it uses this strategy because it understands that man, when you use analogies and examples and stories, tends to understand the point better. That in a 45-minute majlis, you may not remember a single thing the Mawlana said, but that one funny story sticks in your mind. And so equally, I like to use our stories and examples if you haven't noticed already. The story for today is of two frogs. And we're talking about Shaitan here, so follow me. There are two frogs around the pond area, and they hop themselves into a very deep ditch by mistake. And the other frogs surround themselves around the ditch, and they encourage them to hop themselves out of the ditch. If you've seen frogs who are caught in a very deep hole, the only way out is for them to jump themselves out. And so these group of frogs that are outside this ditch are encouraging these frogs, come on, jump higher, jump higher, jump higher. You can do it, you can do it, you can do it. And they try, and they try, and they try, but they don't get out. After a while, the frogs turn on them and say, look, forget it. You can't do it. It's too deep. Don't, give yourself a nice relaxing death. Just sit there and let yourself die in that ditch. The one frog eventually listens to this group of frogs and dies in the ditch. The other frog, the more discouraging the group gets, the higher he jumps. Until he finally jumps out. When he was approached, he said, look, we were discouraging you left, right, and center. Every single one of us was discouraging you to not come out of the ditch. You can't do it. And still you tried harder. Why would you do that? At that moment, another frog came in and said, don't you know this frog is deaf? He can't hear your discouraging words. In fact, he thought you were encouraging him. So sometimes we need to turn death to Shaitan's encouragement and discouragement. Sometimes we need to close our ears and not listen to what Shaitan is saying. This is the ultimate month for that. Because we have in the hadith that Shaitan is locked up. Shaitan is not a factor in this month. This is the month of Allah and only Allah. The doors of hell are closed, the doors of mercy are open, the doors of Allah are open. This is the time now for us to gain our tools, our resources, our strength to fight Shaitan. And to learn how to turn death when he encourages us or discourages us. So keeping that in mind, like I said, the example of the boxing match and the soldier has to be fresh in our mind. We have to understand that we're going to have moments where we fall on the ground. We're not masoom, we're not infallible. And I'm not giving anybody a kick here to sin. I'm not saying go out and have your bad day, do what you want. No, that's not what I'm saying to you. What I'm saying to you is that do not fall hopeless when you choose the wrong path by mistake. Repent to Allah, beg for His forgiveness, inshallah Allah will accept your repentance. And make it a point to say, Shaitan, you got me now, but next time you won't get me again. And that's the philosophy sometimes that we have to understand. Sometimes we have this unrealistic thought that, you know what, I should never be a person who Shaitan defeated. I mentioned yesterday Shaitan has a number of advantages over us. He's very powerful. He has a whole army against us. The idea here is for us to build our own army inside of us to fight Shaitan. And that leads me into this final discussion on this part about Dushman Shinasi, and that being the development of willpower inside of us, inshallah. InshaAllah, Hijri Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. The world of business and the world of psychology has a very nice discussion on the building of willpower. Because you see, when you face an enemy that you can see and touch and feel and is in front of you, your strategy now changes. You have weapons to use. You have other things that are materialistic to use to defeat this enemy. We're dealing with enemies we can't see. We're dealing with enemies that are far more powerful than us. We're dealing with enemies that a gun or a tank or a bomb or anything will not get rid of. So our weaponry has to change. And the weaponry that we have to use is willpower and self-discipline. And there's nothing else that we really can do. Above and beyond tawakkul of Allah, above and beyond relying on the Ahlul Bayt, above and beyond pleading and begging Allah to give us the power to fight Shaitan, we have to begin to build that within us. How do we do it? Number one, the first discussion in willpower that has to happen is the setting of goals. My youth and my elders have to sit there and ask yourself, what is my goal? Is my goal that I want to live my life in this society the way the other members in the society live? And that everything for me is the end all and be all in this dunya and there's nothing in the akhirat? Or is my goal the akhirat, where I want to have a good life in this dunya and a better one in the akhirat? And find that balance, like Mawla Ali said, where I enjoy this life at the same time I don't sell out my akhirat. Once you've identified that number two is your goal, and hopefully inshallah it is, I'm sure it is, then we have to look at a few factors. An example I'll give to my youth is, a lot of you are in school, mashallah, right now. And many of you might be in your final year of university or college, you might be graduating, you might be entering university, I don't know. But whatever stage you're at in your school, there's a reason why you're continuing to educate yourself. You have a goal in mind. That if somebody who is, let's say, in their senior year in college, if somebody says, look, forget this school business, forget this education business, come and work at 7-Eleven with me, and you'll have instant money, as they say. You'll have a check every single week, you'll have a paycheck, you'll be on a salary, and if you work hard enough, you'll even have benefits. You know, a free Slurpee here and there, as they say. And a lot of our youth will say, you know what, I'm not taking that deal. The question is why? Why would you not take that instant money that obviously that's why you're educating yourself for? You want a good career, you want a set income, you want to be as, you know, those high income bracket people where you have a nice home, a nice car, inshallah, and may Allah bless you on this path. But why not now? The idea here is that you're not after instant money. You're not after instant gratification. You're after money that will last you a while. Stay with me for a moment here. You know that right now I can get any job I want to, I can pump gas, I can drive a cab, I can work at 7-Eleven, and if you do all these things right now, may Allah bless you, inshallah. But I'm saying that the people who are putting forth the effort right now to get a degree, their master's, their PhD, who have come from India, Pakistan, who have left their homes, there are some people who live in New York but are studying here. Some people live here but are studying, let's say, in Texas. This sacrifice is for what? The sacrifice is to make sure that you have a solid foundation for your future. Which means that we're not those people who are after instant gratification. Shaitan's tool is what? Instant pleasure. Shaitan's tool is that he daggers that carrot in front of you and says, look, if you choose my path, I'll give you instant pleasure. whether it's with a member of the opposite gender, whether it's with certain food, a certain drink, music, clubs, dancing, whatever the case may be, whatever pleasure you gain from shaitan, it's instant. It lasts 5 minutes. We're hungry, it's 7:45, and we're approaching that time to eat. And the first bite that is lazeez and lizzat and pleasureful is that first bite. It goes down so slowly, alhamdulillah, it's iftar time. You eat for 10 minutes and you're full. That same food that was the source of your pleasure 10 minutes ago, now is a source of disgustingness for you. You can't have another bite. Your stomach won't even hazm it, as they say. They won't even accept it. And you take that philosophy with any pleasure. Alcohol, for example, is a pleasure that this society, mashallah, runs on. You have a night of drinking, you wake up with a hangover, a huge headache, and you think, oh my God, why did I do that? That same source of pleasure is now a source of pain. But when you come on the path of Islam, Allah is saying, look, my pleasure for you is khalidun, it's forever and ever. If you think for a moment that the pleasure of this world lasts 5 minutes, come to the akhirat. Come to the akhirat, come to the hereafter and know that every pleasure that you see in this world has no comparison to that of the hereafter. So we have to understand, we have to accept the fact that shaitan only daggers in front of us this idea of instant gratification. You don't do it in any other part of your life. When it comes to your deen for some reason, you do it. Those of you guys who are entrepreneurs in the audience, you have your own business. If you've been in the business long enough, inshallah, you're profitable. But the first year of business, as we all know, the rule of business is what? That you take whatever you make and you put it back in the business. And for the first 2, 3, 4, 5 years of establishing your own business in this society, you have to suffer a little bit. Why can't you take that money and run? Buy a bigger house. Buy a nicer car. Because you know that 10 years from now, the business may not be there. In school we do it. In our upbringing of children we do it. In our education we do it. In our business we do it. But when it comes to shaitan, for some reason shaitan has such a grip over us, that a little bit of pleasure of 5 minutes, 10 seconds, half an hour, a couple of hours, is enough for us to come off the path of Allah. I'm asking you to build that willpower and convince yourself that my investment also includes an investment in the akhirat, and my sacrifice also includes a sacrifice of this instant pleasure, so that the akhirat, there's pleasure upon pleasure waiting for me, inshallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. That's one point about willpower that I want to make to all of you, that hopefully, inshallah, you guys all understood. There are steps now in building willpower inside of us. We're trying to build willpower. Why? To fight shaitan, to fight our nafs, and to fight our mindset that we've determined yesterday and now today that these are our three main enemies when we're trying to establish an Islamic lifestyle in the West. The first factor in willpower, they say in a hadith and psychology, is be realistic. I had a sister come to me in a different community, not here, don't worry, and say, I said, Naya, I love music. Specifically, I love Indian music. I have to drive with it, I have to cook with it, I have to study with it, I can't go to bed without it. I know it's wrong. I can't stop myself. But I want to stop myself. What do? I asked her, I said, look, in your car, do you have all the latest and greatest CDs? She said, yes. I said, do you have an MP3 player? She said, yes. I said, are they full with Indian songs? She said, yes. I said, do you have a laptop? She said, yes. Are there MP3 files on there? Yes, there are. I said, you have all this around you and you expect to somehow stop listening to music? I said, the first step you have to do is take those CDs and burn them. The next step is to give away your MP3 player, and the third step is to completely delete your MP3 files. Then come to me and talk to me about this idea of I don't want to listen to music. Be realistic. You want to quit smoking and you're buying a pack a day. What kind of strategy is that? But oh, you know, once in a while when I'm in the mood, I'll light up. That's not quitting. The first thing you have to do, if anything in life, is be realistic. If you want to develop willpower, if you want to kick a bad habit, you have to do it in small steps. And that brings me to a hadith by Imam Ali alayhi salam that talks about this idea that when you want to incorporate a sunnah of us, or you want to remove a bad habit, do it small and consistent and not large and inconsistent. But if you want to cut down smoking, for example, cold turkey is very difficult to do. You cut down bit by bit. Instead of a pack a day, you go half a pack a day. And then you eventually go to two a day. And eventually you have nothing. But if you go cold turkey and you can't do it, then what ends up happening is that you convince yourself, and shaitan then kicks in and says, look, you tried to kick the habit, you can't do it, accept it and enjoy it, man. And now you'll never again try to quit, because initially your quitting method was incorrect. So be realistic in your developing of willpower. The other example I'll give you are these diets that sometimes we're on. You know, we're always in this idea of having a healthy life and having a healthy body, and Islam promotes that, mashallah. Lose weight and you know, but these diets nowadays, Atkins and South Beach and all these fad diets where, you know, you don't, you know, you tell yourself that before Ramadan, that's it, no bread, no rice, no oily stuff. For 29 days. That's it, I'm cutting everything out. And you come here and you line up and you get to the table and you see rice and bread and oily stuff. So what do you do? So then what happens is, again, you tell yourself, look, I tried, I couldn't do it. How about enjoy yourself? A big plate of rice, a bigger plate of bread, and lots of oil. What is realistic is to tell yourself, look, 28 days, 29 days of Ramadan, 13 days I won't have rice or bread. Instead of listening to music on my way to school and work every single day, I won't do it in the car. I'll put the radio on, or God forbid, I'll put some qasidas on, or some Quran on. But sometimes I think, you know, if you turn it on to the Quran, the radio might explode or something. That's why we have a fear of putting the CD in. But we have to be able to be realistic in this matter. Small steps, but consistent steps in our building of willpower. The third stage and final stage, this is Allah Nabi Muhammad wa Muhammad. We have to identify and we have to be able to develop this concept. Look, there are two things I mentioned to all of you. One is this concept of willpower, one is self-discipline. The difference between these two are very important to understand so we can move forward. Willpower is this ability to make a decision, take the appropriate action to make sure that decision is fulfilled. That's willpower. And that's what we're trying to build right now. Self-discipline is this idea of rejecting this idea of instant gratification. We talked about that already. So the next time that you're faced with a shaitanic decision, to be where you shouldn't be, or eat what you shouldn't eat, or listen to what you shouldn't listen to, or be with someone you shouldn't be with, stop and ask yourself, is it worth it? I know that in that height of passion, in that height of emotion, it's very difficult. That's why in the first day I said, don't put yourself in that position to begin with. But if you found yourself there, and you're telling yourself, look, I'm outside of a club, but I'm not going to go inside, you're fooling yourself, I'm sorry to say. And for 10 minutes you're outside and you think, you know what, I'm doing good, 10 minutes strong, I'm not going inside. 20 minutes later, you're right in the middle of the dance floor. And that's a problem. Because then you convince yourself, I tried and I couldn't do it. So that need to go to the club becomes even more stronger. If you did it right the first time, it wouldn't be a problem. So we're trying to develop this idea of, at the same time, rejecting this idea of instant pleasure that the society offers. At the same time, building enough willpower where you have a goal in mind, which is your akhirat, and making sure that no matter what happens, I'm going to take the necessary steps to work towards that goal. I talked yesterday about hurdles in life, if you guys recall. The example I gave you was of an Olympic hurdle race. And if you've seen this race before, you'll know that, like I said, the very first hurdle is the most difficult one. that if you can get over the first hurdle, the fourth or fifth hurdle becomes easier. The problem with shaitan, or not the problem with shaitan, but his strategy is what? That once you go over the first hurdle, the second, third, fourth, and fifth hurdle become higher and more difficult. And so our willpower becomes equally building as well. So two very main points about willpower that you have to understand. One is, please be realistic with yourself. Set small goals for yourself and be consistent about that. And not just about removing something that you do in haram. At the same time, this is the month of ibadah. This is the month of worship. If you want to include a certain sunnah or a certain salat in your day-to-day activity, in your day-to-day schedule, this is the perfect month to do so. For example, Salatul Layl. Salatul Layl is one of the most important salats that we have in our ahkam, in our deen. And our ulama in Qom have taught us that Ramadan is the perfect time to incorporate Salatul Layl in our program. How? On your calendar here, your namaz calendar, it says that the time of Fajr minus 5 minutes is when you should stop eating. Correct? And you should start praying Fajr 5 minutes after the set time. 5 minutes here, 5 minutes equals 10 minutes. 10 minutes is all you need for Salatul Layl. The moment you're done eating your sahri and suhoor, and you have 10 minutes to spare, instead of a quick 10-minute nap, which I would never suggest to anybody, by the way, because you'll never wake up again, is that you spend those 10 minutes in Salatul Layl. We have in our ilmi akhlaq that if you do one habit for 40 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designates two angels that remind you every time you forget this action. So if you're able to at least do it for the 30 days of Ramadan, after Eid it's 10 more days. After that, trust in Allah that He'll help you in making sure that every single morning you pray Salatul Layl. So I'm not only talking about willpower to fight shaitan, I'm also talking about willpower to tread the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In both avenues, in both ways, in one side you're lowering your sin, at the other side you're gaining your ibadat. And that's the ultimate Islamic life that I really want us to try to achieve in the 2 weeks that I'm here, inshallah, dimension by dimension, bit by bit. As the conclusion of your wrap up, 5 minutes left, we want to make sure this point is concrete, and then we move on to a second or third dimension tomorrow, inshallah. It's Allah bi hijri Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Alaykum salam. Yesterday I mentioned to all of you that one of the most fundamental and most important discussions we have to have, has to happen in this topic, is the identification of your dushmans. Okay, I'm repeating myself for a reason. And we identified 3 main dushmans: shaitan, your nafs, and your mindset, your state of mind. This hopelessness that comes about. I talked about how shaitan operates, I talked about how the nafs operates. I talked today about how a little bit of shaitan scratch on us, and we run to the corner and say, I can't do this anymore. Once we identify these 3 main enemies, we now move towards this concept of building willpower and building self-discipline. If we don't have these 2 things, we become unrealistic in our fight against shaitan. And I mentioned that 2 main points about building willpower. One is being realistic, the example of music and smoking, etc. And second, I mentioned of setting small goals but consistent goals. And let's not forget, because I see some new faces here today. Yesterday I mentioned that ultimately one of the best tools that you have against shaitan is, don't put yourself in a position where you have to fight shaitan, like I said. You go to the bar with your friends and you swear blind that I'll have orange juice only. That's one example I gave yesterday. You're putting yourself in an arena of shaitan and you're asking yourself, you by yourself, to fight shaitan's army. And we mentioned how strong shaitan is, and how powerful he is, and how he's been around since Nabi Adam's time, and all these different advantages he has over us, where instead of us trying to fight this powerful entity, we should avoid even entering his arenas. But of course, we live in a satanic society. We live in a society that promotes alcohol, that promotes everything Islam says is haram, so we have to be able to build willpower in our schools, in our businesses, and every wealth that we go in society. And we gave ourselves the tools today to, inshallah, build this willpower and build this self-discipline, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بحق محمد وعلي محمد, Ya Allah, give us tawfiq to fight shaitan and his dushmans, inshallah. Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, to forgive the sins of our marhumeen. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept our qaleel ibadat in this beautiful month of yours, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we see so much bloodshed and so much tyranny and injustice. The only solution that we see is the coming of your 12th Imam. Ya Allah, please hasten the reappearance of your 12th Imam. If we are doing anything to slow down that reappearance, give us tawfiq to not repeat those sins and ultimately forgive our sins. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.